I got fired 3 times.
Oh my god, really?
I'm saying it so lightly now, but then it was hard, like, going through those.
Of course. Yeah. So I'm pretty, like, was this in Hong Kong? Or?
Yeah, it was in Hong Kong. And one time I was even, like, a suspect. I went to...
What do you mean?
Yep.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra. Welcome to the 9th episode of Hamro Yatra. Today we have with us makeup artist and entrepreneur Jideepa. Currently living in the UK, Jideepa needs no introduction in the Nepali community. From amassing around 486,000 subscribers on YouTube in the last 10 years, Jideepa has also been busy creating her own empire. She launched Prairie Cosmetics in 2019 with her own line of makeup brushes, eyelashes, makeup bags, and contact lenses. In this episode, we talk about Jideepa's inspirational journey to turn her dreams into reality. Jideepa is no stranger to adversities. From being fired at 3 different jobs, to her first product launch failing, and even getting scammed multiple times, Jideepa has never stopped believing in herself and her vision. She is focused and determined to unlock her untapped potential, and in the process inspires many to do the same. As always, if you enjoy these conversations, please share with your friends and family. Remember to follow our Instagram page at hamro.yatra for updates. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a 5-star review if you're feeling generous. Hi, Deepa. Thank you so much for coming to Hamro Yatra. Welcome.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Pleasure's all mine. I'm so excited to just explore about your journey and hear about how you've turned your life into this empire. You know, it's really inspirational what you've done. So can't wait to dig into it.
Oh, thank you.
So before we get started, I do like to start with some fun questions.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
If I had any superpower, it's to be able to spread happiness in everyone.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be the happiness fairy.
Oh, yeah, happiness fairy. Okay.
And if you could have any cuisine for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Nepali.
Anything in particular, dal bhat or momos or...
Both. Can I choose both?
Sure. Before we start talking about your journey, I want to explore more about your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
How were you as a child? What was your childhood like?
As a child, I think I was very like quiet. Like quiet child, but I was not just like quiet, but I was, I think I'd like to call myself a little bit like smart, but then nobolne type go, ani. But I was mischievous again, nobole kana.
So silent, but then you're up to doing cheeky stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was obedient like student, but then. Like academic wise, I was really good. First, second, boy, like this or any.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but then sometimes like, garma especially mischievous,
you know. Yeah. And you were in Nepal only for till you were 3 or 4 years old, right?
No. I was in Nepal up until I was like 10. 9, 10.
Oh, okay.
So I started in Nepal to class 3.
And was it in Pokhara or?
Pokhara.
Yeah. How was it? Do you remember much of growing up in Pokhara?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I remember most of it. I even know how to read and write Nepali.
Even though you left when you were very young.
Yeah, I was in class 3, and I don't know, like, I'm not good in maths, but when it comes to language, any language, I think I pick up language quite good. So Nepali, even though, like, bolne mathe dherai practice nabhaye ni, I remember the words. I think just memory power around boy.
And I think with languages as well, like, I think you need to practice it. Otherwise, like, if you don't, then you start forgetting the words.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And this Pachi, so from Nepal, did you move directly to Hong Kong?
Yeah, so after Nepal, I moved to Hong Kong. Obviously, my parents were already there. And it was not planned, but I was like, oh, my friends are studying here. Why can't I study here? And again, the mischievous thing, you know, I'm going to study here too. I'm not going back. And I want to live with you 1 year. And they were like, oh, didi. And everything. And he recently came to UK, like literally last year.
How was it for you, our Pokhara Patta, because you're Hong Kong Zane, like speaking Cantonese as well? Like, I used to live in Hong Kong, so I remember, like, not a lot of people speak English to you, especially if you live like in the New Territories area, no? Like one Chai Minh area, a lot of people speak English, but like if you're living in New Territories, people don't. And like, I used to get so frustrated because like I used to be able to speak English and like, but none of us spoke Cantonese, and it was just so frustrating, like day to day life bands and the So how did you deal with that when you were a child?
When I was a child, I didn't really I don't really remember having to deal with it, like, because my mom was always there when we go out Sanama, because you can't go out alone when you're a kid. I remember one time one lady, like, Mualese, I was in the public toilet. And Malaysia had a dark cold day again. And the water just hit her directly.
Oh my god,
my garden ma pani halne huncha ni. The tap that it's not hand wash ko lagi, okay? It's just like the tap ani open gardeko thiyo ani chhi gar sab bhijai thiyo. And then malai Chinese ma ke gali gareko thiyo. That's the only time I remember where I didn't know what to say because I didn't know what she was saying. I learned Cantonese, Chinese in school. So titi problem boy, because I can't speak fluent, but then also almost 80%.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. My only extent of Cantonese is like asking for discounts. Because that's what we did in Hong Kong, like shopping at Nakiri and asking how much this is, and they take out their calculators and try and tell them, oh, like more discounts and stuff.
So how long did you stay in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, we stayed on and off like a few years because my dad used to work there. So we'd come, like, you know how the things with Hong Kong ID, how to enter every like year or two. So we did that for a while. After I finished my plus two, then I stayed in Hong Kong for a year and worked there as well. So I was working in like Lam Kwai Fong Tira and like got to experience like that whole like party scene there. Very different from UK though.
Yeah, it is very different.
So you moved to UK just recently. What was the reason for that move?
I was supposed to move to UK 2012 to continue my studies here, but then didn't happen. I stayed in Hong Kong until 2019, and then I moved here because I found that it was better for my business. And then also I ended terms with my partner who I was with. So I needed a change, and I also wanted to be closer to my sisters. And my mom is here as well. That's why.
Must be nice to like be closer to family as well.
Yeah, it is. My dad is in Hong Kong, but like he doesn't like UK, so he doesn't come to
same.
Oh, is it? And new changes, Nilesh.
I did see your vlog with when you surprised your family with the new car.
Yeah.
And like I got so emotional just watching, especially like towards the end when your mom was like, "Oh, like I didn't think this would happen," and I was like, "Oh my god, that's so precious."
Oh, thank you.
So Deepa, like I guess let's get started into your journey into the business you have today.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into makeup?
I was always very, like I said earlier, I'm not very good in maths. So I think it's soon. So that there are people who are like good in mathematical things, Aru, and there are people who are good like artistic things, Aru. So I think I'm the artsy person. I always like art. I was more creative. And when teachers ask me questions like, what are you going to be in the future? I would always answer, I'm going to be an artist. I was like, proud, but I'm going to be an artist. Yeah. And besides, I didn't know makeup. I only knew lipstick when I was in Nepal. I didn't know a whole other things of makeup. Because my mom was in Hong Kong, and I was living with grandma. Grandma don't do makeup. I had painting colors and water painting colors, and I had a lot of cousin sisters in my home, and I used to use the painting colors to paint their face. That's very bad. But slowly, after I moved to Hong Kong, you know, teenage life, basically we grow more, and then we also kind of build up this insecurity by comparing with other people, and we try to do things to make ourselves look good, look better. I mean, that's when I discovered makeup, and slowly I enjoyed doing makeup on other people as well, and that's how all of this began.
So you started your YouTube in 2010, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you already start being interested in makeup before this, or was YouTube like an avenue for you to explore it further? How did YouTube start? What was the idea behind you starting your YouTube account?
YouTube account is basically, I created a YouTube account just to watch others' videos. I didn't really like more YouTube. Nei bonau su boner. Asi mali. Like video bonus one is simply one ego, you know. It's just sometimes I felt like making videos, just try go na galagi, because I didn't know what other things are possible. I just tried making some videos, something that I know, and that was like a hair video, I think. A hairstyling video.
Yeah,
but I was very on and off, not seriously.
You started YouTube just as like a hobby to learn new things, and now it has like 479,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Did you ever envision, you know, like YouTube being such a big hit? Like, how do you feel about the growth of your channel?
Oh, I didn't like. I thought maybe I would have 100,000 max, because I thought there's not much Nepali people like doing this YouTuber return. But now it's growing, and because I did my videos in English, sabai English ma garina bhayera, many people, like non-Nepali people, also watch my videos, and I think that is one of the reason why I have more subscribers. But YouTube's algorithm is always changing. Before, like I think 3 years ago, it used to be really good. But sometimes it's always going up and down. And always have to work around how to create contents that will keep us up in the algorithm. It's quite challenging now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So how long, like how much time do you spend on YouTube creating content?
It really depends on the type of content that we create. If you're making a makeup video, it can take like 3-4 hours just to film, and then it can take another 5-6 hours to edit. It's like a whole day process.
Because a lot of times when people just see, you know, like YouTube videos, they think, oh, they don't really understand the process behind it. Yeah. Right? But because like you actually have to think about the content, then actually film it, edit it, and go through so many different processes.
Yeah.
Like 10-minute video, it probably takes 2-3 days, like, you know. Yeah,
exactly. And it's not just the video. It also depends on what kind of video, what level of the quality that you want to create. It's a whole like setup. Everything, even the setup takes like 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And even the lighting and everything.
Oh, wow. So you work as a trainer as well. You like doing makeup on other people.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to get any qualification for that, or was it just experience?
So with makeup, it's not something that you need to have a certain qualification, because it's arts, and you cannot measure art with like certificates. But for me, like, even though I was self-taught in what I do, I did go to get study makeup in advance, like Makeup Forever Academy in Hong Kong. Teaching is something that I always enjoy. I always like to share what I know, what I've learned. I like making people feel beautiful, so that's why like I can't do makeup on everyone, right? So it's better if I teach them, and that's why we are doing that too, like training.
I would love to attend one of your classes, watch like makeup class, because I'm absolutely horrible. Like, I've tried to look up on YouTube and like I just can't, I don't know how, like I can't just learn from like watching other people do it. And I've tried doing like the time when that smoky eye was really popular. Like I tried to do it and I looked like someone just like hit me up, like a black eye. So like I am so bad, like all my makeup stuff, my sister's really good at it. So she's the one who gets me like lipsticks, or she's the one who tells me, oh, wear this, do that. And like everything I own makeup related, it's all from my sister. Like it's actually my younger sister as well.
I get a lot of like feedback, like what Jesus said earlier, you can't just like edit or copy garna milena, so like some for some people. So that's why makeup classes are reserved. I'm gonna be there in person, plus I'm gonna have my assistants who are good in makeup too. While I say like afile siri guide gardine boy, and say it's much easier, and that is one of the main reason for my makeup classes.
How often do you do those makeup classes?
So makeup classes, I was planning to do it at least like 4 or 5 times, not just in one country, but in different countries, because I have followers and subscribers from like all over the world. It's not just in one place. So I was planning for Hong Kong. I've already done like 5 classes in Hong Kong, and I was planning to do more in UK, like different town. And then I was planning to go to Australia, but then this, all of this happened, so I'm like,
Now in 2019, last year you launched Pori Cosmetics. So what was the process like? Again, it takes, there's a lot of things involved, you know, like to form a company, to decide on the products. How did you go about even thinking of the idea of the product, and how long did it take you?
So I started researching on how products are created for, I think, 2 years before I actually launched it. And I went to different factories in person. I've been to China and other countries to actually go to the factory and see the process, how everything is done. And one time I tried to create a product that is eyelashes. That's before launching, and it failed terribly. I lost a lot of money on that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I believed in myself, and I know what I wanted to do, and I knew where it was going, because I could see results from other people who are doing it, and I thought I could do it too. But then like some people were not really supportive towards me, and then when that the first product that I wanted to create failed, like of course people will not believe me. But then I kept on going, I think. It was difficult. But finally, in 2019, it happened. And before that, I created makeup brushes. And I was working on the makeup brushes for like 1 year. Started from 2017. started with the design and everything. I actually have the drafts here. Like,
wow.
I designed all of the, like, the color, the shapes, the sizes, and then getting different ideas from the brushes. I mean, like, other brushes. And mixing my own, choosing everything. It's a whole lot process.
Yeah. Why makeup brushes?
I always want to create something that is useful. Because if you can solve even like a tiny problem, I mean, if you want to make money, you need to be able to solve problems. So I wanted to create product that will solve problem. And in return, I will like exchange matrimony bonds. So that's very fair for the buyer. And for me as well.
Yeah.
So makeup brushes are one of the most important tools if you want to have your makeup looking flawless and nice. This is the first tool that you will need. So that's why I wanted to create makeup brushes. Plus, I consider myself as an artist. An artist gonna use, I think, brushes. No matter for painting.
Is your tool.
Yeah, on the canvas or on your face, brushes. So that's why brushes first.
Just going back on the whole business aspect as well, what made you decide to start a business or like create something new? Like going from like consulting makeup artist to trainer to like, oh, I want to start a business of my own or my own company. How did that happen?
I've always wanted to do something on my own. When I was working, I couldn't get along with some of the boss. And I thought, there's something wrong with me. Well, there's only one company that I really loved working with because they allow me to be creative. And they allow me to, and I was in a higher position as well. And I slowly realized that, okay, I am not someone who would be okay with having told what to do. Instead, I would love to tell what to do. I like being kind of like leader and then having my vision and tell people, not tell people what to do, but then create a team and then work on the vision that I have. So slowly figure out oh, I'm actually supposed to do something on my own. Then I will be okay with what I'm doing. I got fired 3 times.
Oh my god, really?
I'm saying it so lightly now, but then it was hard, like, going through those.
Of course. Yeah. So I'm pretty, like, was this in Hong Kong? Or?
Yeah, it was in Hong Kong. And one time I was even, like, a suspect. I went to...
What do you mean?
Policemen and women came to my home and arrested me. Allegation of
cybercrime.
But I was not guilty.
So how did this even happen? Like, why did they think?
Yeah, I used to work for this company, and I used to like on parts. I used to create their website, and I left that company. I was told to leave that company, not because I was bad or anything. My skill wise, I'm really good. And I do all of my job very well, I think. It's just that some people didn't like me and they wanted to get me fired. So eventually that happened. And if I'm fired, then I don't work for that company anymore. Then I don't hold any responsibility for the website either to take care of it. So I didn't do it. But something happened because someone else was trying to take care of it. And then they blamed it on me. But there was no proof that I did it. So... otherwise I would be locked down for 2-3 years.
Oh my god, what a story.
Yeah,
so do you actually do your own website for Pori Cosmetics as well?
Yeah, right now I do my own website, but I do it not like professionally. I just know part of it. I don't know everything. I just know part of it, little bit of everything. It's just Cosmetics is what I'm fully given it. I have full knowledge on, I think. I'm still learning more, but then I like to say it's I have a good amount of knowledge in makeup, but other things I just know a little bit of everything, and it's the same. But now I have someone who's actually professional in the field who is working on that.
Mm. But I guess it's good because you know what you want. You know, like you, because you've got knowledge on so many things,
yeah,
you're able to guide them or tell them what you want as well.
Yeah.
And not just being told by them, oh, this is the best way to do it, because
yeah,
you can go back and say, no, I know it's not. Like, yeah, I need this to be done.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I let's say, I'm trying to learn as much as I can, but not on the things that other people need to do, because that is that is their job to do it. I don't have to know it, but I need to know the result it can create. I don't need to know the process, but the result it can create, because the result is what we need. And
exactly,
yeah, we find this similar people who can fill up the blanks in each positions. This is what I'm learning slowly.
Yeah,
it's all a learning process.
It is. Ani, also with, like you said, with it's a lot of big process, did you need to save up for the investment or did you have to get a loan? What was the financial aspect behind it? Because I'm guessing it's not easy to just be like, I want to make brushes, let's start on Sunday.
To be honest, you don't need like a huge amount,
but
so you have to save.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a little bit difficult because at that time I didn't have control over my own money. Yeah, but then I didn't take any loans or anything like that because I'm always scared to take loans because I'm scared of like not being able to pay off. So it was mostly my savings.
Oh, that's amazing. And I remember reading somewhere that you wanted to get the lashes out as well and you got scammed a few times.
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with those challenges? Like you said, when sending the first product, like it failed, but then you didn't give up on yourself. I know. What drives you to keep moving forward and go on and still strive for that thing, for like goal for yourself?
I think this... that is to not do anything out of ego. And for me, I didn't do it like mole actually fail boy, so I'm gonna succeed at it. It just, I have this dream, I have this vision, and no matter what, I need to fulfill it. I need to complete it just to a freelancer. So I really want to do it because it's something that I believe that may change, bring changes in people's life. And also because Mosanediki, I was Diddy, I think. I was like, I want something, then I want it just again. But then slowly, I used that one of the quality as a good quality, like being stubborn in important things, not like childish things.
Yeah, so you turn your stubbornness into more being determined and just being focused, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. You also mentioned earlier on that you want to make people feel beautiful, I know. What does beauty mean to you?
Beauty means, firstly, being happy, being pure, and being positive from inside. And then basically inner beauty means more than outer beauty to me. And with makeup, if you can enhance a little bit on your outer appearance, then why not?
Just the cherry on the top.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that you emphasize on skincare as well, not just like makeup, because like you need to have a good foundation before you put something on, right? And I think I can, like, learning from about your journey, I can see that you really value good foundation, like really caring about what's in the inside and then like on the outside. What you got?
Exactly. Yeah, it's just like the inner beauty and outer beauty. So skincare is like your inner beauty. If you're like not a good person from inside, no matter how many like how many layers of makeup you try to pile on, it's not gonna work. People will be able to tell. So skincare is also same. No matter how like I mean, if your skin is not good, then no matter how much makeup you put on, it's just going to look cakey. It's not going to look nice. So skincare is very important.
So Deepa, you've been hustling for over a decade, right? Doing so many different things. How do you take time to take care of yourself and prioritize yourself?
That is what I've been doing recently. It's actually been like 3-4 months that I'm actually thinking about myself and being more selfish. Because I just, like, you know, growing up, we always realize things. And it's good when you realize things, because people, some people spend their whole life without realizing so many things in life. And yeah, I'm happy that I was able to realize this, like, in so many things. And one of the things I realized is to, like you said, taking care of myself. Yeah, it's only been a few months, and I've learned to be more selfish and help myself first so that I can help others.
One of the examples I love giving is, like, you know, in the plane, like, they tell you when the oxygen mask drops, you always have to put it on yourself first before you put it, help others. So I guess if you don't take care of yourself, then you're just going to be empty and you won't be able to, like, take care of others, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess during this uncertain times, if you could plan any day doing, like, the most favorite things that you want, and how would that day look like?
I think I didn't really think about this before, because I think for 3-4 years, I've only been working and working and working, not really taking time to actually relax and then, you know, try to do something that will like recharge. But now I realize that traveling would be something that I would really want to do, because that's what we can't do really. I think it's just people, you know, we just, we want what we don't have. We want to do what we can't do.
So one of the main things I like to cover here in this podcast is also about how society takes success as enough. A lot of people, they have their own definitions of success depending on their experience. So going through the things that you've gone through, and I mean the different projects that you've done, how do you see success as? What does success mean to you?
I think to a lot of people, success means having a lot of money. And I think that's just how people look at it. If you just, if you show off like cars and big houses and all these things, people think you're successful. But then for me, I don't like to take it that way. Well, it's good that you are able to have big, big houses and big cars and nice luxury things, and but then that's not what success is for me personally. Personally, I feel like we all have so much potential, and if we're able to, I mean, unlock all of our potentials, then that is where I count myself successful. Like, just being able to live your life to the fullest and unlocking all your untapped potentials, and basically learning how to become financially independent, and not just having a lot of money, but how to create money is what I think success is.
I think that's very well said. And a lot of the times, school mapani, you actually don't learn about, like, you learn maths, but you don't learn about finance.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You don't learn about savings, you don't learn about credit, you don't learn about, like, investments. So I don't think that the education, that the typical education really prepares you for the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just have to go out there, like, get jobs and different things, and then you learn on your own, or you like, you just fail miserably, like, once.
Yeah, I think so many things in schools are taught like that. It's just very basic kuraru. I think if you would have thought about life, actual life ma ke huncha tyo kura sikayo bhaye, it would have been much easier for us. And also if our parents would let us have control over our money, then we will learn how to, like, learn the value of money. It's all practice. And I feel like experience got it. And we learn faster and we learn more.
Yeah. What's next for you, Deepa?
What's next? I want to create, valuable products for the people, in especially in Nepal. Because in Nepal, we have so many things from outside, but we don't have anything of our own. And there are so many Indian makeup brands in Nepal, and there's not much makeup brands in Nepal. So that is one of the reasons why I wanted to create a brand of our own of Nepal. And so many people are like proud of it, and I'm so happy for that. And I want to create similar products from like Nepal Kane, and hopefully be able to create factories in Nepal.
Yeah,
but looking at the future of creating factories in Nepal, what you can do is you can create a lot of jobs for people in Nepal. But the thing is, our government, it's hard for us to export it out of the country.
Oh, okay.
Because it has to be by air. It's hard to import and it's hard to export. So if that is fixed, then I think our economy will go very high.
But it's very inspirational that you want to go back and really help like the nation itself to grow as well. Yeah. And any makeup wipe and any other products, like you want to help the people. So I think that's quite inspirational, and hopefully things change, and you know, like every, like the country profits from it as well, like people profit from it as well. So hopefully that happens in the future too. Now to wrap things up, Deepa, I think you mentioned a little bit earlier on, but if there is one advice you could give to any other people who are far away from home and are struggling to find their path and either be conventional or unconventional, what would that be?
I just want to say that we all go through so many problems in life. It's not like whoever is watching, it's not just you who's going through whatever problem you're going through. We all are going through that problem, because at the end of the day, we're only human. And then whatever happens in our life is normal. It happens to everyone. And maybe some have it easier, some have it more difficult. But no matter how big the problem is, we have to learn to remain calm in every situation. Because if you're not calm, then you can't think, you can't think clearly. So be calm and think thoroughly. And if there is a problem, then learn how to fix the problem. Where there is problem, there is opportunity. So just like in our country, there are so many problems, but those are not problems, those are opportunities, which if we are able to fix those problems, then we can solve so many problems in Nepal or anywhere. And it will, in return, it will bring us prosperity.
Oh, that's such a beautiful way to end the show as well. I really love like the positivity that you bring, Vinsini. Like if every challenges that you face, you only see it as an opportunity to go forward. You're so strong and resilient. And I'm so grateful that you've like taken this time to share your journey with us. Thank you so much, Deepa.
Thank you. It feels really nice to have a platform to be able to voice out. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to have to share something. Even though I'm really learning all of these and I haven't figured out life. Nobody has. Slowly learning and getting there.
But you're doing very well in this journey.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do.
As always, if you enjoy these conversations, please share with your friends and family. The screenshots you've been sharing with key insights on the episodes and tagging us at hamro.yatra on Instagram truly make my day. So thank you, and keep them coming.